We're up to cutting the nails. I used to learn, we didn't have the bookmarks, we used to underline a lot, underlining. There was a book, Rav Nosson, the Kutta Lachis, which a year of the books, and I underlined so much of the book that a good friend of mine, who's he's a very accomplished scholar, he started to laugh. He says, too bad, you should have just bought them underlined. You could have bought books with outline and underline then. But when I needed to find something, I had no idea where it was, but it for sure was underlined. It's in this book. It took me like 2 minutes. And with him, I don't know, he looked around. So that was the idea of the underlined stars. Whatever talks to you, you know, you see, right, it was a really strong piece. And yes, no, I don't remember we saw it the other day. These kavanas, if you do tshuva, you'll have a beautiful week of connection to Hashem. Like, I have read this, I have stars underlined. Obviously, I must have read it. Must have talked to me and really impressed me. Wow! And I forgot so utterly that if you'd ask me, what are the kavanot of the week? Maybe I could tell you, maybe not. But what's the school of it? No way in the world. It's in this Indian term of Shabbos. I would have no idea what I underlined at the start. Just no idea. Clueless.
But underlining helps when you're going through it a second or third time.
Oh, for sure. And also finding things. Finding things is also very, when you want to review like highlights. I want to review the highlights. What really spoke to me, really caught my attention. When you want to do that, that's really, it's very, very good. That's for me. Especially, I like these little stickers. Theoretically, I'm supposed to input it into a computer somewhere, so I have it, you know, in English, what I want, organized, but that hasn't happened yet. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not giving up. But especially if you learn quickly, and even if you don't, but if you learn quickly, then it's totally impossible. Whatever strikes you is going to be what you're left with, as it were. And you don't remember. Three signs the other day, three signs, three different things. But what were they exactly? I remember one of them, so I had two seconds. God. So we're talking about cutting the nails. When we learn these concepts, it's possible for a person to be struck with thoughts of gaiva. Wow, he's learning all these unbelievably deep worlds and constructs and things. You could think, wow, I'm getting somewhere. Ho-ho. You know, so that's not that hard to puncture. It's really easy. And we'll see why in a minute, God willing. That's the first thing. It's like, there's no gaiva. It's totally... This has nothing to do with us. We have no... We'll see. That's a shame. So you also need to cut your nails. So during the week, nails are from the klipa. It's this seemingly strenuous thing. It protects the extremities, the fingers, toes. The Rebbe says that's where the klipas are. The Baal Shem Tov explains, because when you want to act right, you find the things holding you back. When you want to act wrong, something pushing you to act. Use those hands the wrong way. Stand with the feet. You want to run away from bad things? No, you can't move. You want to run to bad things? Go, run. What happened is there's something like holding on with like these anchors, like a puppet. So like the puppet, we want to cut the strings. Be Hashem, so we want to be a vehicle for Hashem, not for the Sitrapa. That's the first thing we have to realize. Like we're So the nails usually their problems. Shabbos is just foolish, just shining, just beauty. That's what it is. So what do we do? So there's an Indian, not too much. Even klipas nogah, that's what we're saying, klipas nogah gets also purified. The middle things, the things that determine whether or not I can keep Hashem in mind. And we have to realize that the only way we're going to have a chance of really being with Hashem all the time is it's a rocky road. There's ups and downs. If you don't expect ups and downs, there's no way you're going to have a chance. It's maybe, unusual people. Probably not, I know, but for me, for sure not. For me, I know it's going to be ups and downs. I'm trying, working on it until Hashem gives it to you as a gift. That's what we want. We want just to get a matana from Hashem, just hold on to things. So there are certain things which enable me to fall. These things are usually relate to Klipas Noga. How a person needs. He's rushing here, he's rushing there, he's doing this, he's doing that. All sorts of different things that he has to react into relating with people. All these different things that can just totally pick us up or drop us down. It just depends how we do them, what our reactions are and how we act. Do I keep my equilibrium? Do I lose my equilibrium? Am I still about fear? Am I afraid? Am I not afraid? What exactly determines? So that's the beginning of Klipas Noga. So on Shabbos we're able to uplift this. I need another second of going to see what this means, maybe a little. But so we're able to uplift the Klipas Noga on Shabbos. We're able to uplift the middle things, and that's what we eat, and it's for to eat, and it's also the mitzvahs that are physical pleasures, because we can uplift them with the Or of Shabbos. That's the point. You're supposed to do these things, because that's the Or of Shabbos. Now, so where there's an aid to cut the nails, because not too much, maybe just a little bit. Again, we'll see that in a second also. So the first thing I just wanted to say, two things really. First of all, is that the Ari says, for one who knows, you can tell a lot of different things about your neshama just by looking at your nails. That's part of why, you know, Havdalah Retni, look at our nails, you're looking at your nails, because it's leaving, you're losing the light, the shining light that you had, you lose. That's the news. And able to notice spiritual things from the nails. Again, this is not, I don't know, maybe you guys. I was never zochah to see anything on nails. Sometimes, you know, you missed a little piece, you have to go back, you bring a nail file. That's about all I've seen on nails, I'm afraid. There are some like, I believe that. So they said that your people are really on the level, can see? Okay, excellent. you know, that's not. So the first thing you have to know about Klipas Noga and all these concepts which we're learning about, and learning Torah in general, is that you really need to learn Torah with a lot of purity. If you don't have purity, it's very hard to access what's really going on in Torah. How do you do a Torah? That's why he says, you find a lot of people, you're supposed to learn Torah also. No, I'm not sure. On the Bible, so, or the resource land, or whether it's the resource land to often count, says that you find a lot of people, they're very learned, and I don't know, the Torah does not seem to have really moved their midas the way you'd hope. It's not exactly holding in the greatest place. Rav Ovadia actually has a letter. He says you have to be able to appreciate the greatness of people, even despite they're still not 100%. You don't have to say, well, if he's not a malach, he's not perfect, then he's no good. It's not what even a great person can be. He's not 100% the way he should be. He's still got the greatness he has. Now, in terms of, so the Altam Kam, which also Rav explained, if you don't have the purity, the Torah does not become your Torah. If it's your Torah, then it protects, it does everything it's supposed to be. If it's not your Torah yet, so there's something missing. Sometimes a person can learn Torah on a low level, and he's, you know, he's much higher than a guy who knows everything. He's not learning Torah on a low level, he's pure, he has a pure motivation, he's just thinking about Hashem. He's trying to change his life sincerely, that's all that's on his mind, that's all he wants. And he's much higher than somebody who's, this guy is, he knows it all, and he's very well, he's brilliant, great, he's brilliant, wonderful. So where are you though? I don't know, well, I come and I learn, and I do my this, and I know this by heart, and that by heart, and I understand this, and I understand that, and your actions, and who you really are. Well, I don't think about that too much. That's not exactly the greatest, that's the part of what the story is about. We're supposed to try to change, we're changing ourselves, slowly but surely, Hashem Himself. So, the first thing we have to know is we need to have tahara. And he brings proof to this, he brings proof, the Gemara says that there are some people who are a little bit defiled. They have a certain defilement, they need a mikvah. That needs a mikvah. Says maybe you could learn only superficially. Superficially, two of you, here's what you can do. The Gemara says, but if you want to learn in depth, don't learn in depth without the mikvah. Says, understand, if I have the capacity to learn in depth, why should you learn in depth? He says, you see that if you learn in depth and you're lacking purity that you should have, even if it's just a mikvah, you're going to misunderstand.
One of two things. Or you won't understand anything, or you do go to depth and go up. Get pulled into the dark side.
Exactly. He'll misunderstand things. He'll apply only with his even slightly tarnished vessels himself. And he's missing big, important things. And then he's somewhere else. He said, where did you get this from? well, this is a world pattern, and the pattern doesn't begin, it doesn't, there's no beginning, no middle, and no end. I say, you're messed up. What do you mean? I learned 13 pages a day, 13 half a day. Since my child. I know the shots for heart. Sorry, buddy. There's got to be Tahara there, or you're not holding. No matter what, you're very good. We want to encourage you, but you're not in a place where you can say, this is Butcher, this is also. You just don't know. You're not there. You're not there.
You have to do shots.
Hmm?
Shots I tweet, I'm not sure.
Shots I tweet.
We're chatting with Goyo. And he was learning new stuff, checking his voice, and you know where he went.
Well, the Kamada says he had a first, an earlier stage. Shaktai Tzvi is a very fascinating sugya. In short, the Kamada says, we don't understand on a simple level, but without thinking deeply, what happened to him. Because at first he was A-OK. He was learning depth, he was usually people fall. You don't daven, you don't turn to Hashem with your heart, you're not pointing out your heart to God. He was. His davening was intense. Yes, Shaktai Tzvi was the, do you remember the years when this was? We're doing the Taz.
It was 200 years or so, 200 years before.
200 years ago. Something like 400 years ago or so, I guess.
So it was a bit before the Sancho Bill, yeah. Good graduations. That's why it was.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it's less than 400. Maybe 300 years, I'm not sure. But anyway, actually, yeah, the,
1600s?
It was there was the Cossacks, the famous Tak Vitat. I don't know what years ago, how do you translate that? Tak Vitat. 300 years ago.
Competition.
300 and... No, it's a little less than 400 years ago. Okay, it's a little less than 400 years ago. That's about right, right? Because it's Tak Shin Ein, right? So 370 years or more ago. 400 years isn't too bad. Way to put it. So around that time, there was a certain very profound, deep connected person who started going around well, that was later. First, he started saying, we should do this mitzvah with your children.
Now, this is Europe.
No, he was in Turkey, wasn't he?
The Balkan area.
In the Balkan area, okay, there we go. I don't really know. Not in Europe. He was far away.
Under the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, under the Ottoman Empire for sure. And he was saying to do all sorts of mitzvahs in weird ways. That's how you bring the thing here, you do this. And then he starts saying you can do this sin, and that's how you bring do this, you do this, you do that. And he went like really crazy. Eventually, there was such a big to do about it because he was saying he was the Mashiach. Mm-hmm. So Mashiach, and the Tzaddik sent someone. And he said he can't be Mashiach because he's sitting with a slouched back. Mashiach wouldn't sit that way. It said you always have Hashem in front of you. So a scholar, you can sit that way, no problem. Mashiach, no way, no chance. So he said, I don't even hear anymore. I don't care how profound he was, how deep he was, what his doubt was like. He's sitting there slouched down. Mashiach, he cannot be. You have to be connected. You feel it. You're trembling for Hashem all the time. You can't be happy too, but you can't be. You can't be slouched down. It just doesn't. It's not compatible with Mashiach. Hmm?
There's someone before the Taz discovered
it. It's possible, I don't know.
Rabbi Yaakov Sakotas.
Possible. But the Taz sent his son, the son-in-law, I guess it was, told him, and he said, no way, I don't hear anymore, finished, no chance. And a lot of people were saying he's no good, others said he is good. Eventually, it was a whole to-do, and he converted to Islam. The Sultan said, you're saying, you're Messiah, listen, it's not okay, it's, you're rebelling, you're whatever. In short, if you either convert or die, and he said, well, obviously, I can reveal the life by converting, he converted to Islam. And then, pretty much, that was the end of his influence, more or less, although he caused a lot of damage. He had a student named Frank, who caused even more damage. He did a lot of terrible things. People sold their houses, so much else coming. No Mashiach, his whole livelihood's gone, he's nowhere to go, nowhere. Terrible things happened. This was a big reason why people became very wary of Kabbalah. Very wary. Even that reason, because he said, look what it can bring to, it can misuse and go way off.
Yeah.
So, Shaktai Tzvi, the Kamada says, what happened to him? People usually do not do an avoda. Why did he fall? Because he's a brilliant scholar. He has no avoda. He thinks he's very great. He's on a high level. He doesn't have the kelim. He has no vessels to take in life. He should be bringing in to hold him at such a high level. He falls. With him, he did big avodot. He cried. He doubted. Everything. So, what happened? He said, what happened was. That's exactly what he said. He said he worked too hard on the fact that Hashem is everywhere. He said Hashem is everywhere, so it doesn't matter what I do. He said that was a very big. That error cost him his life. Like that was the end. Then it didn't matter. Everything. So from Hashem. He said that's true, but you don't have the right to dictate. There's a king. You can't say, I need money, so I'm going to counterfeit money. And the king, well, you know, he doesn't let me, but you know, everything's good. He loves me. It's not how it works. You don't counterfeit. You don't commit crimes because the king is a good guy. Kivyochol. Same thing. Hashem said no. It's no. It stays no. It doesn't go away. Just because you think this or you think that or you think the other thing. And it's well known. The minute a person's on a high level and he's even a drop of something not okay, it's a little bit corrupted, you can fall to bad things.
A simple question. Didn't he have a rabbi to turn to?
No. He did not have a rabbi to turn to. I don't remember who his teacher was. I don't know if he was even alive anymore. And he was in a place where he didn't have a rabbi. No, exactly. Yes, if he had a rabbi, it would have been fine. He didn't.
Azati.
Hmm?
Something. Natan Azati.
He was around. He was around. He was good. He was on target. I'm not even sure where he was either. I don't know.
Azati was another brilliant one who helped him go the wrong way.
Oh, it's okay. So his rabbi wasn't okay, apparently. I don't know. I honestly, I kid ignorance. But I'm not sure the historical detail. But the Kamala says he took it the wrong way. The Gra tells about one of the students. I'm sorry. One of the students of the Gra, he said he was also going to places. And it's the minute, this last corruption, when you want a magid, you get an angel, it has to be from the side of holiness, not the wrong side. And it's very easy to confuse it too. If we're in, the difference between holiness and really, really being where you ought to be, and klipas nova, which is what we're on, that's the relevance of this, is the tiniest detail. The tiniest thing. This is a young man.
Great disguises.
It's very old. This young man, exactly. He got this angel, the angel tells him, okay, I'm going to teach you, but you need to commit the sin of being with your wife when she's in Ida. And he had a whole Kabbalistic cheshbon of why. So when the angel left, this young man said, okay, my Rebbe's the Gra, I ain't doing anything like this without asking him what he thinks. I don't care about the equations. I'm not going to do what I know it's in the Torah not to do without his approval. And the Marcus said, it seems a little strange. He went to the Gra, he said, of course not. He said, not only that, he described. He said, this angel you'll see here and there, it looks this way because it's from the wrong side, and you have to send it away. You gotta start again, a little more pure. That's what he came back to. The first thing a person's in the right place is, okay, mess this up, mess that up. Because when he messes up, he destroys a lot. He has the power to do a lot of destruction. You have it.
Which angel?
Hmm?
You said an angel?
Yeah, there are different. There are heavenly angels for people on a level. Rebbe talks about it, actually. The Rebbe talks about it, just the other side of it. He says there's the Yetzirah, which is the physical Yetzirah. When you overcome the physical Yetzirah, you get an angel. So sometimes if you overcome the angel, you can get an angel that can teach you things. That's what we find. The angel that teaches things, it's not clear. It doesn't have to be that you see an angelic being, although maybe you do. It could be just be person getting levels, connecting, getting levels. It could be that he's seeing something. It's not so clear how and what. Like the Rizal said at the end of his life, I'll come back and teach you, but how I'll do it. What's the difference to you if you're dreaming or you're awake? If it's this way, if it's that way, what's the difference? There are many different ways. But yeah, I'm not sure. Was it a physical? Did he see something? Did he just grasp something? I don't know. But that's what.
The difference.
Yeah, it depends on the person's level, and sometimes it's just the source of his soul, what he means. The Groy would not learn from such things, even from all of this. Said, I want it all for my efforts. I don't want it. No freebies. No thank you. Okay. Others had a different way. The Baal Shem Tov certainly did. Not like that. Good. Whatever you want, Shem, I'm just yours. You have me something? Great. If it's real, great. The different mahalchim of how to, what to do, how to do it. We're more the way of prayer. We're not from the Baal Shem Tov. It's very much the way of prayer. Well, others just said, no, prayer is better than your own efforts. Everything is looking at it. So now, this is the thing with Klipas Noga. Klipas Noga, it's very pervasive. If we don't have the purity, we're Klipas Noga. The Zinit Shover told his nephew, he said, till I was 40, I wasn't sure I wasn't in Klipas Noga. And he was doing everything he needed to do. He was learning, he was davening, he was connecting, everything. And he saw that his nephew turned white. I might be in Klipas Noga, I'm working so hard, I'm just like outside, not yet inside.
And what's Klipas Noga?
Klipas Noga is, again, this is the husk. That's the middle. It's this, the middle things. These things that are in the middle. It's the shine. It's like things we have to use. Eating all the things that are neutral. We have to pick them up. And if one doesn't, he is under the spell of Klipas Noga. Klipat Noga. He's in this husk, which is a lighter husk. It can be uplifted, but it's hard. She said, I might be Klippas Nogin. He said, don't worry, everyone, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. You have to learn how to work on it and deal with it and work on being pure, work on being where you need to be. It's a long
like step. Fire can be useful, it can be destructive.
Absolutely. Exactly. You have to use it properly. You have to wake up the inner fire to break away and to cleanse from the Klippas Nogin. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. Now, and that's with these nails. Again, the nails, it shows a lot of good things about a person, but it's Klippas Nogin. You need it, it does feel, it doesn't feel. But these things determine a lot about a person. So how am I supposed to purify myself for Shabbos? Here, Shabbos is the same thing. You need purity. That's what the Kutzker said. The Kutzker said Shabbos has two elements, right? The Kutzker was concerned. Shabbos says Zochor and Shomor. Remembering and keeping anyone could do. And that's very, very high and very powerful. But Zochor, remembering, depends what you did the rest of the week. What you did the rest of the week. How was your week? That has to do with how much you get a Shabbos. If you want to connect to Hashem to such an extent that you're really in places where your neshama is even a little bit, a little drop, so then you're going to be somewhere else than someone who can connect. But it depends totally on your week. If you, had a week where you had very little connection to Hashem, you weren't thinking about Hashem, you just weren't thinking about mitzvahs too much, so it's much harder. Doesn't mean it's impossible, it's harter. So what do we do? So the Altar of Kelm says, what do we do? So I don't have purity yet, so now what? What do I do? So you tell me when I learn, it's not going to be the way it should be. So I'm stuck. Shabbos, I want to think of Shabbos. It's not going to be the way I can. I'm stuck. What do I do? It's very simple. It's not so complex. It's very, very simple. All you need to do is put aside the negative part. Try to focus on Hashem. And focus on the positive. And this, of course, I mean, he doesn't bring this, but it's predicated on the Ramak. And that's, again, the Gaiva is so far from us, because the Ramak says one of the best ways to deal with Gaiva is to realize that I'm not really connecting my gifts, seeing things, and who knows what. I'm just as doing as if. I'm trying to do it, but I'm not really. This is davening. I'm trying to daven. I'm making the effort. There's no place for a guy right here. What I really want is a free gift. And I can tell you, when you ask Hashem for a free gift, and you're just learning about these beautiful concepts, you can get tremendous things. But you have to know it's a free gift. Halavai, we would be in a place where there's purity, the way it ought to be, the way it should be. Halavai.
So what you're saying is that, as I understand this, mm-hmm. that these rabbis are on a very high level, and they're making mistakes, and they're saying that minimum meaning they have to be pure in order to understand what you're reading and connect with it.
I don't understand what you're reading.
I understand
what. I'll tell you. So there are many levels of purity. And the Gemara tells us that one's teacher should be like an angel. An angel who is impeccable. So the Alshav says, wow, that's, maybe there are 5 good teachers in the generation, 10, like, nobody can teach anything. It doesn't mean a teacher is teaching you what it says, here from there. This means someone who's revealing a totally new way, new path. He's taking you to Navoda. He's better be on the pure level, better know what he's doing. Otherwise, he's going to be off. You're doing something, you're trying to make it a determination. You better have the purity. We know there's a Bechina also where there's nobody there who's on the level of something, you have to just do it. You're not the one. There's no one else. I have to do my best. Sometimes you can access Shiata Nishmaya. But if you want to be like Baal Shem Tov, right? Yotz Gemara and he sees things. If we want to be in a place, where I'm a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, so there's no shortcuts. There's no easy way. There's no way to, it's very easy to pretend. First of all, pretend. He says, hey, I feel great. I'm doing this, I'm this. Ah, it's so nice. And that's great. And then he goes over to his friend and says, well, you shouldn't do this, and you should do this, and this was revealed to me, and that was revealed to me. My friend, nothing was revealed to you. It was revealed to you for you, maybe, if you're getting it right, and you're not using your vested interest or mistakes to confuse things. But you don't know what's good for your friend. And you might not know what's good for you. So it gets to be, for a person to put himself above someone else and say, I'm above you, I'll explain to you what you need. You better be on the level. You better really know. You can't say, I've heard they were great people. The person said, oh, okay, this is what you do. This is a great rabbi in France. He told this person, this is what you do, and you can go off your medication. He went off his medication, and he died. I mean, he had no right to say that. I'm sorry. If he had had the prerequisite of purity, he better say. You better be right. You better be there. You can't not be there. So there are different levels. There's one thing where a person we're learning. You're learning what it says. There's another level where a person's he wants to be the tzaddik. If you're the tzaddik, you better. We talked a little bit about this last week. You better really be the tzaddik. I mean, when you read the descriptions of Rabbi Nachman, I mean, I don't know. I would have a hard time applying it maybe to anyone in our generation. Maybe there's one or two people. Maybe you read and say, "Wow, that's pretty." Heavy duty. That's not a joke. That's somebody who's really, really, really there. And you know, every exposure to something negative defiles a person and drags them down. So we can use that to galvanize us to do tshuva. We can get to high places. We can do lots of things. And you never know. Sometimes a person has a neshama that's a kaduri. There was a certain cab driver who was saying unbelievable things. And he was like a cab driver. He was no big shakes. He wasn't very learned. And he had great insight. So when my teachers, he asked for kaduri, he said, I don't understand. Rebbe, explain to me. This guy's a cab driver. He knows nothing. And yet he's saying things nobody knows. And he's right. Where did you get this from? He said, is it my responsibility that somehow he got the soul, the spark of the soul of Moshe ben Beeri? It's not my problem. He got a soul, very high, 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 high soul. And it's talking to him. How does he have the truth? I don't know. Doesn't matter. There's such a thing. There are things. There are gifts that come around. But it's not going to happen when you have a drop of arrogance for sure, because it's free. And it's also not going to happen. I can't be pretending. It has to be genuine and real. I have to know who I really am, my positive and my negative. Got to live with both. Because every good thing is eternal, forever. It's eternal, for Hashem. I also have to realize I have things I got to fix. You know, not. And this happens to stars, I think, very often. Everyone's, wow, he's so great. He's like, I'm not so great. I'm just not so great. That's not true. It's a lie. It's not real. It's very hard for people to, you know, face up. Like, I have a temper tantrum. I have this problem. I have that problem. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And then to be the tzaddik, there's no work there.
So you're talking about the difference between the Kabbalah Center and Pico Robertson and the love of the true Rebbe.
Yeah. So yeah, when you have someone who you better be, if you want to act like the Kabbalah Center, you better be the Kabbalah Center. Don't give people advice. If you're way off, you know what you're talking about. So he was someone, yeah, he was, you know, I think we spoke about it before. He was sitting in the university and learning people.
So
in class.
The person who writes the Sefer Torah, they're supposed to be the very high Draga, right?
It's better if he's on a high level. But it works whenever it is. There are certain minimal things.
And he has to go into the mikvah all the time.
He should. It's kosher without. I think, if I remember right, and I'll check if you want. If I remember right, the Yevit, it's not ma'akir. I think it's not ma'akir. Yeah, I didn't say it's great, but I think it's not ma'akir. But yeah, there are certain differences. Even outer differences. Even a person who's wearing a beard is a difference. The difference, that's what's brought. What's the difference? I know the left is better or worse. Does it show about Jewish mind so much? It's something. It makes a difference. Our post feelings, it's important.
This is weird, but I've met some, and it's like, you can play a better word, deal, difference. I don't know how to explain it, except the word deal.
It's a feeling.
It's possible. It's hard. It's hard, again, you never, sometimes you're feeling that it's not for you. But there is, like I said, Rabbi Yashin, someone asked Rabbi Yashin, and I don't think he was talking about a full beard either. He just said, I have two sofers. They're on the same level as far as I can tell. One has a beard and one doesn't. Is there any reason why I would take the beard, not the beard? He said, yes, take the beard. Better.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
He's not looking for excuses.
I think he even said if it's a little more expensive, still take it. Like, it's not, if there's an Indian, it's not, these things, it's a big, every little thing is a difference. But yeah, if the guy didn't go to mikvah, there's no mikvah there. Right? Can't write, he should not write the Shin Hashem. He should not. Is it possible? If I remember right, it's not possible. Maybe there are some sources that say this. I don't remember. I don't know. Perhaps you're right. I don't seem to. Deeper things. It's a very bad. Shaman, the guy is a mikvah. Happy to be. It's not. It's definitely not proper. It's definitely not proper tahara. Is it possible? Put it in Siberia. He somehow gets the ink together and the parchment. He can't get a mikvah. He can't write the tefillin. Of course he can. It's not kosher. It's kosher. Again, it's b'diavad. Okay, b'diavad. So if he did it, it's the same thing. It's b'diavad. You don't have to jump the Torah. You can use it. It's not the greatest. There are levels and levels and levels and levels. You're
shooting out your Torah.
Hmm.
What's up, dachu?
Yeah, but once you wrote it, it's also dachu. Hey, this is a lot of effort, a lot of Jewish work here. It's just thrown in the garbage. Chalila, Geniza, it's shoved into the Torah. It's no good.
I can tell you something about the importance of the mikvah for the Shem Shem. Mm-hmm. Example. I lived in B'nai B'nai for a few years and came to notice there was a Litvak fellow talking some awful problems in his home. His home is, his study went haywire, his home went haywire. Nothing worked right. He tried to do this, tried to do that, nothing got right. Finally, a friend of his said, write a letter to the Lubavitcher. Back years ago, pardon me. So the Lubavitcher, what do you want to do? I'm a Litvak. Why do you care about me? He cares about every Jew, no matter who, what, where. Okay, you say so. He wrote a letter. To his great surprise, he got an answer. It says, have a good expert, Magia, check your filling. Walked into a Magia in his Litvak Yeshiva. Everything, the letters are right, all the letters fine. So writes on the back, Magia checked it, and says it's okay. He said, have an expert Magia check the feeling, I said. So he got to Rav Stern in Rav Bosser's Beit Din. Rav Stern looked at it, and he looked at the letter from the Dovar, he looked at the feeling, looked at it and said, something's wrong. It's not easily visible, but I feel that something's wrong. He brought him to Bosnia.
Wow.
Bosnia looked at this, heard the story, let it feed in, said, bring me a magnifying glass that has a lamp, you know, to be able to see better. He looked and said, bring me the Sefer.
Wow.
Yeah, Sefer, how did you write this? First of all, what are you used to writing, and how did you write these fill in? Long and short is, this is a Sefer style that's used to writing Sefer Torah. Not feeling.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote like he wrote a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah, you can skip Shem Hashem, go to the mikveh, be bold, and then write the Shem Hashem.
Delicious.
In feeling, you can't do that.
Oh, it's possibly worthless.
And so, how did you see there was something different that that's a Sefer? He said, because the Shem Hashem had more of a brightness to it than all the other words. I figured maybe he probably did Tevilah with these, and the rest was written without Tevilah. And he came to it.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So the Shem Shem that he did to Mikvah before writing it shined more than all the other words in this feeling. That's what it was.
I think they all are. But yeah, here, so if someone says, I have trouble, I say, no problem, check your feeling. And, you know, I have no idea if there's anything I want to tell him. I don't really know anything. I'm not on the level where there's something up there and I see it. So, you know, you better be right. And taking responsibility, that's a pretty big responsibility.
It's
when you can say, maybe that'll help. You can't just...
But same thing with mezuzahs.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you stories.
With Rabentov, I was very much in Israel. Some wrote his mezuzot because he had troubles. The little tool, he says, I see, and these I see boots, these I hear a dog barking. Who wrote these mitzvot? Two different sofrim. One of them wrote in winter, his feet were cold. And he was thinking, I'm going to write the mitzvot and sell them to buy boots.
Wait.
His mind was on boots the whole time,
and
his mind was not on the mitzvot. Okay? And so it didn't have the effect. The other one had a neighbor whose dog was barking all the time.
Right.
As he was being bothered, his dog barking, and a bit of herded in the mizuzot.
Unbelievable.
So 2 miles of dog barking within the mizuzot.
Kids, you have to really be there. You have to really be there. You have to know where you are. You have to know who you are. You want to write kimeos. You have to be holding right kimeos. You have to be there. You can't,
people never understood why it took me, would you want 2 days to write a mizuzot? I said, it's quick, but if I felt it wasn't there, I would write.
My question. Yes, you just have a call.
Got enough money, love my writing.
Mm-hmm.
Got enough money, that's love my writing.
So now the question is, where do we go from here? Here we are. We have Klipas Nova. That's exactly the exact good point. Excellent. First, we're doing the holy thing, and he's somewhere else. Something in the world bothering him. He should pick it up. He doesn't pick it up. He can't transcend. He can't connect the way he should connect. We have to know where we are. What Kaduri said about the Kameos. He wrote a book. He wrote Haskama. A book about practically writing amulets. He wrote, to write amulets, you have 3 things. One, you have to be able to make the quill write on its own. I don't know if that means literally,
make
or that is the quill, the kumis. Mm-hmm. Write on its own, the shem hashpos hakumis. You make the quill write on its own. I don't know if that means...
Oh, write on its own.
Yeah, I don't know if that means without a hand, or that the hand's moving, but there's a connection. Whichever one, maybe both, it doesn't matter, depending on your level. Fine. So two, you have to know really what you're writing about, what these places are and what they mean. You can't just like do this to that without understanding what's behind it. You don't understand what's behind it? Don't let it. Say, number three, you better be on the level. And if you're not on the level, woe to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. If someone's on the level, you're not on the level.
Now, how would you define amulets? I mean, are they the classical yod?
No.
Or whatever.
There's something inside, there's something written on a parchment that can cause certain things. There's also the Baal Shem Tov would write Yisod and Sarah. He just wrote his name.
Hmm?
The Baal Shem Tov would write an amulet Yisod and Sarah.
Right?
In the amulet Yisod and Sarah. His mother, his name is mother's name. That was his amulet.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be on the level to know how to affect what you're supposed to affect. There are different ways of writing, there are different ways of. It's a very more a realm of practical Kabbalah stuff. I don't really know what these sort of things are. I'm not even trying to know.
I mean, make sure you don't make a mistake.
Yeah, you better don't say that again. So you have to get the Gemara talks about amulets that worked. You know they worked. Can you carry them on Shabbos? If they worked, they're expert. If they're not expert, it's a question mark. Is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile? The Gemara talks about it.
I mean, nowadays, today.
Some people write amulets. There are Sephardi and they're also in Shah Shemaim. You can find a person or two who will write your name if you know who they are. There is such a thing.
What can they be used for?
A lot.
Many different things.
I also ran a court case, and the person was really making me crazy. And this teacher of his, he didn't know he writes amulets. He confided in him and he said, okay, I'll write your name. He gave him a little name. So you look at that during the case. And he was looking at during the case. The person is trying all sorts of shit. They're an older person. They just left the room. So then their relatives continued, but basically he paid what he originally offered. Exactly. I'll pay this much, damage a little more. That's it. I'm not paying you anything that ever happened in your apartment since the beginning of time, and whatever you think extra you feel like asking before. So he paid the same the person left the room. So he told the teacher, he said, no, I feel bad, this person had checked out. He said, oh, good, he was very, like, that was, again, I'm not saying this is everyone's pathway, this was his, he's very, so there's an amulet, such a thing, was that what he was trying to do with them? I have no idea, I don't know, but there's such a thing, so there, I mean, this is a pretty modern story, this just happened now, 2 years ago. But there was a court case, he's looking at this little paper, and something like the way it was supposed to go. Again, I'm not... It's not necessarily the way I was trained. Good, the person used the world. The person was very bitter and very having a hard life.
I mean, can you have amulets for positive things?
You can.
Supposed to be.
Yes, you can. You can. But again, like I said, it's not what I know much about. I've never even anything practical. Practical Kabbalah is not really what we're, at least what I was taught to practice. They're trying again. I'm not on the level of like what Padu was talking about. I'm not there. And generally, Hasidim didn't do this sort of thing at all. We just want to connect to Hashem and Muna. This is one way to connect to Hashem and get more Muna. That's what we want. Deepen my Muna, deepen my connection. That's what I want. I don't want to do this like a little trick.
I'm more than sure I'll be used to amulets.
They're different mahalakim, different people. Some do, some don't. Again, in fact, it's not so much the focus.
It can be for health, it can be for getting married,
lots of
things. It can be for healing certain things, or it can be for protection.
It can be for a lot of things.
So I need amulets for my daughters?
I have no idea. Depends who you ask. I don't know. If you have enough for Muna, you don't need amulets.
No, one's 18, one's going on 17, and one's graduating from high school.
Already? You're in a rush. That's you. You're going to be getting into the aggressive way.
He wants to liberate the shower.
That's all. Send us a smile. Hashem will help. Find the right tzaddik in the right time. It's a shower.
No, I worry because it took me, 20 years to find my shidduch.
Each with his own people.
And she's wonderful.
Well, Hashem, you found it. There are people who find and lose, there are people who never find. Not easy. It was easy because it's hard. Sometimes there's a bag in the mind, it's really hard to deal with. You can tell when you ask the person, you say, okay, if this one wasn't a problem, that wasn't a problem, that was just you and her, you and him. Is it right or no? Perfect. Then you know. This is probably right, but the whole baggage is always sticking in, and he's got a problem. And that Hashem should help. Shabbat Shabbat Das, to do what's right. This one doesn't matter. Not losing it. Perfect. Everything else. The reason is that's the only way of telling. It's hard, it takes too long, it's impossible. That's probably the right. That's usually the right. Too easy is not necessarily, doesn't indicate much. Alright. So what we need to do is we need to know, first of all, that there's parts of me which I need to fix. And I need to put this out. Don't think about the boots while you're, if I go through my nonsense, I might not be able to transcend, there. I forgot who it was. One of the big Sikh masters, not too long ago. 100 years ago, maybe. This young man, met with his father, he was maybe 5 years old, so 8 years old. He went with his father to meet this Rebbe and be Rosh Hashanah by the Rebbe. So, he's by the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, his greenish power, he looks very unwell, very weak, hardly speak. So, what the Rebbe is like, okay, so who's in the Daven Rosh Hashanah? He says, the Rebbe, what do you mean? The Rebbe's in the Daven. The Daven, he can hardly move. He said when he came to Daven, he's on fire, jumping up and down. He's like, so he couldn't believe it. I was 8 years old looking at him. I said, this is impossible. He's like, oh, it's like a different person. And he's done that. That's the before the Kiyos also, he said, it's time to Drasha. He was so on fire, jumping up and down. I think it's Drasha. And I said, what happened? How did this happen? He's like, can't move. So that's someone on the level transcends nature, not in the nature anymore. Great. We're not there. At least don't think about your boots. don't think about your clothes. Try to put it aside. Try to keep yourself and try to get a freebie. That's what we're trying to do. That's what he says. Put it aside. And do you have to connect to a simple level? Realize that I'm not, I am for Hashem, a beloved son of Hashem, so close just by my very nature. But I'm not perfect. And I haven't put in the work that I was supposed to put in. And there are results to that. That means things. That has a meaning. I'm not the tzaddik emes. I'm not the big tzaddik. On the contrary, many breastfeeders, whenever Nachman talks about the fake tzaddik, say, well, that's me. Fake nebuch. I have to get out of that. No more. I don't want to be such a fake anymore. I want to be real. You have to be very careful. It's not enforcement shall check. It's very not easy to work out who's where you are. It's important to know, not to have these crazy views of grandeur, just to try to be in a place where you're real, I want to be genuine and real. And then ask Hashem, please help me have a Rosh Shabbos, so you can get a free gift. Mr. Nishama's drawing you anyway, so we can get a freebie. So there's no place Gaiva should not be. We're only as if anyway. Is it Gaiva? For what? Oh, Hashem, trying. I was like, tell her, Steinman, someone gets her Steinman. Can I buy a new car? I'm afraid my neighbors will be upset. They'll be jealous. I'm not a sign. I said, have you learned the whole Shas? I said, no. Do you know any Masechta good? How much learning? Did you connect to the oil of Torah? You learn it? No? There's nothing to be jealous about. You can buy 10 cars. No problem. There's nothing. There's no reason to be jealous. It's some real thing. That's what we are. What do we know? Where are we holding? We're just going to try that right now. We'll start again. We'll make a new start. That's very precious. We're just voracious. We feel ready for the beginning of the world. We just have to start again. Do our best. But we also have to know that, you know, I have a long way to go. For Hashem, I have just, like, it's just enough time. I don't have, it's not too late, but it's not, the time's flying. And actually, they used to have, the Rebbe still does it. It's two clocks. One clock to show you it's late. Hey, it's late. You gotta move. The other clock, it's not too late. That's what we have to internalize. So he says, then go into the field and take in Shabbos in the field. That's what Ari says, you have all the kavanas first, and then you say Kavod Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So we say go into the field. So we go into the field. And we spoke about before, I think, Ramchal, something very beautiful about a field. He said, when you learn the Zohar, it becomes glaringly obvious that there's something about being on the road in the field. We just keep on being on the road, on the way. What's going on? The field. What's going on? So Ramchal says, when you want to access Gan Eden HaTachton, the lower Gan Eden, in this world, you do that by going to the field. That's the more pristine place, and you can do it much easier. So that's why I'm talking a lot, these totally deep things, yes, they only can be revealed on the way, in the field, okay, whatever it's supposed to be. That's part of course what the Rebbe is saying about doing this work. It's in the field. It seems clear, like, right here, that's exactly what the Rebbe says as well, but that's why it's a better place. So she says the field is the best place, but again, you can try to do this vote with some of these guests, Hashem. Realize that Shabbos is something so special and so profound that can just change everything. Just one Shabbos can change everything. You just have to really connect. Keep on trying again. Keep on trying. Try again. No matter what, try again. Another try. Another.
Do you think there are any Jews in our age that connect with Shabbos?
Of course. Anyone who wants, but it's free. It's not just on the level. But of course, for sure. For sure. You just want it. You just prepare, you will connect to Shabbos. You will connect to Shabbos. Oh, yes, for sure. On the contrary, because it's so dark, every little thing is so precious, you can go to the highest places. But not to pretend that I'm. If I ask me, we're on the same level. We're starting to meet. We're like this. That's not it. You're not. That's not where I am. Because he worked his head off and killed himself to be wherever he is. And I haven't. Not in the same way. I'm trying. I'm working. I have a lot of things. It's all positive. It's all beautiful. But I have to be real about that. I'm just not there yet. I haven't yet fixed the meters that I have to fix. I haven't yet. I'm just not there right now. So I'm just asking for a free gift. But as a free gift, every little thing I've done is so precious and great, I can get a lot. There's some people not doing Shabbos, you can access, it's easy almost. You just have to ask.
Once you get this free gift, you can also, doesn't mean you're going to stay there.
No, for sure not. You can for sure, Paul. For sure, but that's up to how much we ask and plead and try. And now that the Kripas know, they take me over. If I have the extra piece of Kugel, so then, right, I'm in the Kugel, now I'm in the Shabbos. So what happened? So if it's not an extra piece, or if I'm just thinking about a sham, or if I'm, depends. And it depends on some of the people that didn't notice yet. The Kugel, he's just so on fire. He ate more, he didn't eat more. He's on fire for a sham, he wants a sham. He should work on the Kugel. It's the second Kugel now he's working on. Another one, he could still be on fire for a sham. He could be, he doesn't have to, focus on his bad characteristic, on his negative, on his heart. He can't deal with his food problem now. Okay, put it aside, and I'm just going to do my best on fire for a sham. It's great, you can do that, wonderful. But the best, there are levels, there are things. It's a good fight. It's a struggle, especially because there's going to be things coming to get my way. There's going to be things coming to be a barrier, to be an obstacle. There's going to be obstacles that are going to try to take it away because I don't deserve it. That's the best thing is another to realize it's just a gift. Every second to ask Hashem, please give me a free gift. And then we can see all these things. Everything, beautiful, everything. And no matter what you, where you fall, when you wake up, so wow, it's kiddish now. What happened to davening? What happened? I said to davening, but I don't know. There's these hard places I just forgot. All. Okay, you know what? Now it's time for now. Go now. It's a different time to try. This kiddish. Just try to connect with home. Have a chance. Have opportunities. Like a lot of different opportunities, different ways, different means. If we just take them, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable where you can get to, even today. But not to say I'm not in Klipas Noga. Now I'm above, and yes, come for brachot, bring people. No, because I am on the level. That is not where I am. That's not who I am. I'm just doing my best. I want it free, Hashem, and He's very good. He gives us free gifts. Really gives it very, very much. A lot. It's a hell. It's a wonder how much we get. It's a wonder. You just, and your Shabbos is this, and Shabbos. So, wow, how did that happen? Well, I learned a little, and I wanted, and I asked Hashem, and He just gave me this freebie. It's nothing to do with me. I'm nothing. It's just free. I'm just, you're on fire. The kiddush is on fire. Everything's on fire. What happened? I don't know. That's the. That's the way it was going.
On fire. Does Hashem put you on fire, or do you put yourself on fire?
You're on fire. But you have to, yeah, we're always on fire. We have to just.
Like right now, I'm on fire?
The neshama is if you can only bring it in. The Rebbe says if you watch your eyes. And what that means also, watching your eyes, of course, means not looking at that. But if you just focus your eye on Hashem, where are you? You start to see great things. You have to watch your eyes. You'll look out the window. What happened to me? I don't know what happened. I don't know where. Suddenly I'm somewhere else. What happened? That what happened was I saw something not good. And instead of just turning to Hashem and saying, please help me, which I should have done right away, and I don't want this to be affecting my grace, so I wish I hadn't done this. I just want to connect to you, please, I'm yearning and trying. Instead of that, he just forgot where he was. And if you go back to Hashem, my eyes went to Hashem. Yeah, I'm going to see great things.
So if your eyes are drifting around Jerusalem, you should like close them and say, Hashem, please stop this?
Every time you see, you have to ask Hashem. And you have to know the struggle with the eyes starts with appreciation that every time the last that I see something not good is valuable. And every time I turn to Hashem because of what I saw, it's valuable. It's not today I'm just gonna go around like that. That's not what it is, that's not what it necessarily means. I'm just gonna do what I can do. I'm not supposed to bend into the wall necessarily. Some people maybe that's good for them, but I wanna be in a place where I'm so on fire for Hashem that I don't notice. That's
this
what we want to get
this
to.
It's such a big thing. I don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch didn't ask him to watch your eyes, because it talks about in the Bei Yosef in the Torah, at the very beginning it talks about don't be called Kadesher.
It comes out of it, though, but it brings it there as a tangent. The reason
it's
why the Shulchan
tangent, but I don't see it. Why was it ever discussed as
and Lashon Hara? Where's Lashon Hara in the Shulchan?
I understand why it was discussed.
Okay, so I can answer your question if you want.
Especially
the
eyes of all things. It's like just major
Shulchan
Aruch.
I'll tell you.
The Kitzur, the Shulchan Aruch is for all Jews.
It's something different. No, the Shulchan Aruch was meant to deal with difficult questions. That's the purpose. Since it does so based on a certain construct, so anything that fits into the construct, he throws it. But what doesn't fit in, he doesn't fit in.
The Torah talked about it at the very beginning.
Yes, but you see, the Torah again, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, that's the way you introduce things, and Rishon explains it. But it's not for.
You really can do a lot of Hashem without protecting your eyes.
And not speaking Lashon Hara. And lots of other things that are not in the Shulchan Aruch. Lots and lots.
So why does it start off like that?
Because it's not the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was meant as a guide for difficult figures, things that are hard. Shulchan Aruch, mostly it's very hard. Beginning is easy-ish. You get to this, and it gets hard, you get to fill in, it's hard, you get all these things, no matter how hard stuff. And that's the whole idea. Please, it's hard to work out on your own, so he's giving you a clarity. This is the way, this is the halakha. Then that's the Torah. Then the Bishop Yosef loosens. Then we go, but there's a lot of things that are missing in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah brings it, and I'll show you if you want. He says there are many mitzvahs looking at the Sefer Haredim that the Shulchan Aruch did not deal with. It's not the purview of the Shulchan Aruch to deal with every single mitzvah. That was not his purpose. He wanted to have four sections to work out the hardest sugyas in Shas. The Lashon Hara is pretty straightforward. Now let's see, there are certain rules, he's just not going to give you them.
It should be taught, it should be.
That's how time wrote it. But it's not, it doesn't mean it's hard. It doesn't mean that if you know anyone you ask, you're supposed to know, you should be in the know. It's easy, it's just open up, it's open book.
It seems like yeshivas are teaching all the hard stuff and not all the basics.
That's a different question, and that's a good point. I don't know the answer to that.
Like lashon hara.
Okay, there's a.
Guard your eyes.
A lot of people are careful lashon hara. Guard your eyes. You're right. This is its own discussion. Because the more you learn, the more open you are changing. It's not so simple. But you're right also. There are basics which are lacking. I don't have a great reason for that.
Yeshivas I studied, they had people they produced. They were great posting in their own right. They completely went off of there.
I don't know.
Because they want.
I don't know. These things are. I don't know. I'm just saying that in terms of, from our perspective, the reason behind it is you learn about it and it purifies you and you're able to be open to changing. But you're right, there's a lot of essentials that are not taught, and I don't have a clue, like, why not? Would it be better? Could be. I'm not getting involved in that one. But in terms of the other, no, I just don't know. It could be. It could. It's not so, like, from a progressive perspective, it's not so clear. How can I explain it? When a person really wants good, a young man really wants good, the best protection for him, embracing on it, would have holiness, because of purity, is beholding Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, just like they did in the Mishnah. He can do that, he's fine. He doesn't have to think about anything. That's the goal. So, of course, he needs to have a pure motivation. He needs to want. He needs to work. He needs to try.
But that's not true nowadays. These guys are doing it. They're going out to the clubs and going to the bars.
That's why I said he has to have pure motivation. And also, what they're doing is not that they have a lot of free time, these guys, usually. He's showing up, he's learning, he's not learning, he's trying, he's not trying. But you're talking, anyway, I think, about yeshivas that are about shooting yeshivas. It's also more complicated. He has a background. So he he's fighting something inside. I'm talking about people that's not their challenge at all. They don't have this background. They're fighting not to fall into something which is part of human nature. And like Shem Shmuel says, and Rasim also says, you want to have holiness and grit, and you have to go to a place that's above nature. If you don't, you won't be able to do it. You won't be able to help. You have to go to a place. That's what's going to access that Torah. Real connection to Torah, connects. That's the goal, and that's why they do it. But Yeshiva, I don't know. Yeshiva Torah, they do more basic things. I don't know. I don't know. You'll find, though, that people drift here and people there who belong in different places, so they are catered to different clientele. Chabad also has Chabad. It's more focused on being well-rounded. See, do whatever they're doing. Maybe it's got, like, they're different places, and different thing has its plus and its minus. You can have Chabadists, they'll say, well, Chabad, you have a rabbi, and he learned his little bit of Kashrut, a little bit of Shabbos. He knows hardly anything, and he thinks he's some big poser. There's no anything. A lot of people like that. So that's too bad. That's the negative of Chabad, very often. It's not always, very often, that's the way it is. And you have over there, they're learning all this deep stuff, hard stuff, but they're not really connected to what's the whole. So when it's about eyes, we want to get to a place with the eyes where we don't see. Just don't notice, because we're just too busy. That's the story with the Baal Shem Tov. He said the student appeared to another student, and he said, I want to spend Shabbos with this student. His Shabbos was the best Shabbos. He said, the kid was crying. Everything was wonderful, dominant, all beautiful. Except, this guy's neighbor, there was a problem with the neighbor. This is the time when everyone kept Shabbos. Almost nobody was off at Derech. There were communities, everyone was. If you're Jewish, you're keeping Torah, unless you're a real unusual exception. Not like later, there was no big enlightenment movement happening, nothing like that. He saw suddenly this fire from the chimney. My gosh, maybe someone's dangerously ill. I don't know, weird, a fire from the chimney, hope everything's okay. His host doesn't seem to notice. Okay. He's looking, he's investigating a little. He says, this guy's delivery, he's smoking a pipe. Well, that's probably not because of nefesh, right? I know some people think it is, but you really, you're not going to die if you don't smoke today. So, like, you know, he can't believe it. The guy profane Shabbos, and this guy's neighbor doesn't say anything, nothing. They go to shul in the morning, the neighbor, the student who he's so impressed with, says, Shabbos, he's Jewish, what's going to be? So after Shabbos, he talks and tells him, I love Shabbos, it's so beautiful, it's the best Shabbos in my life. But I don't understand this neighbor, he's smoking, he's lighting fires, making Shabbos. How do you stand it? He said, first of all, I'm very sorry to hear that he's doing all these terrible things. But I don't understand you. How did you notice? Do you have anything to do? The Shabbos coded. How could it be that you saw? Like, how did you perceive this at all? I'm 20 years his neighbor. I've never seen him break Shabbos. And here you hear one Shabbos and you're ready, you know everything. I mean, your Shabbos is supposed to be thinking about Shabbos, thinking about Hashem. You shouldn't have noticed. Like, that's what we're really thinking about the Zohar, thinking about Shabbos. Like, you don't notice. You don't care. It's a place where I just don't care. I just want Hashem. That's the best. That's the best antidote for watching the live. That's the best. And then you're somewhere else with Hashem, you don't care. But if there is something to see, yes, Hashem, help me, connect me. Ah, Baruch Hashem. So give a little bit of the Shabbos. Almost like Kiddush. Shabbos closed and lighting candles. That's tomorrow, I believe. Well, at least once a week.